Well, good evening, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Yeah? I've never used one of these headsets, so it's very exciting. Got something in common with Madonna there? Oh, but the other thing I've got in common with Madonna is I think we're the same age. So there you can see everybody looking on their phones to see how old Madonna is. So my name's Sam, and I come from Southend Vineyard, and my connection here is with Emily, because Emily spent 3 years down in Southend studying her nursing, and then she came back here. And we worked hard on a prophecy that said, Emily, you need to stay in Southend, but it didn't happen. But it's great to be here, and there's a few of us who've come down from Southend, so Johanna, Claire, Irene, Frankie, and Alex is not really from Southend, but he's kindly brought Frankie here this evening. So I want to tell you a little bit about the journey that we've been on as a church for the last about 4 years. About 4 years ago, I was on the phone to a friend of mine who lives in Coventry, and she said, oh, do you know, Sam, we're doing this great course about prophecy in our church, and it's wonderful, and it's really kind of bringing life to our church. And I was a bit surprised, because knowing her church a little bit, I didn't think that that would be a sort of avenue they were going down. So I asked her a bit about it, and I found out that it was this, the prophecy course, also called Accessible Prophecy, and that it had come from a church in Sheffield that some of you might have heard of called St. Thomas Philadelphia. And it was written by a lady called Kath Livesey. So I want to give full kind of credit and acknowledgement to them tonight, because most of what I'm going to say tonight and do has come from there. First of all, I checked it out. I thought, this might be a bit weird and wacky. Prophecy course, that sounds a little bit like it could be a bit strange. But I soon found out it wasn't. And I thought, well, I think we should embark on this. And then at the same time, somebody in our church shared a word, and that should come up on your screen. It's the next slide. Yep. So it's from Matthew 14. It's quite familiar. I won't read it all, but it's about when Peter walks on the water towards Jesus. And you know the story, and you know that he sort of walks quite well for a little while, and then he stumbles and falls down, and Jesus rescues him and says to him, oh, you of little faith. And I felt that God was telling me to get out of the boat with regard to prophecy. So off we went. And it's been an exciting journey. So I've got a feeling that maybe God's calling some of you here to explore the gift of prophecy in this way. And maybe you feel like getting out of the boat, well, that's a bit too far. But maybe tonight you just want to dip your toe in the water. And you're going to be pleasantly surprised as you dip your toe in the water. You're going to feel like it's quite a nice sensation. Maybe some of you have paddled in these waters before. Well, you need to get your togs out of the back of the wardrobe and get back in the water. It's time to start splashing around and go a bit deeper. I can honestly say that this journey for us as a church has been exciting, exhilarating, challenging, and enriching. And it's taken us all deeper in our faith individually and corporately. So, a bit of a definition to start with. What is prophecy? And that should come up on the screen. That should be slide after that. Yeah. No. Yes. What is What is prophecy? So at its most simplest, you can't say that, can you? That's a double something or other. At its most simple, if my husband was here, he'd be telling me off. Sharon's nodding, she knows. He spoke this morning and he showed people two sentences and got them to check out the grammar. So you can see how exciting it is in our church. You're glad you got me tonight. Anyway, so a simple definition of prophecy would be hearing God speak and repeating what he says. That's easy, isn't it? Well, we might as well finish now and just go home. No? If you read the New Testament, particularly the book of Acts, you tend to find that people became Christians, were baptized in water, were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then given gifts to use. Perhaps it didn't quite always happen in that order, but those things occurred. And if you want to look at lists of gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit, there are some in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 11, and Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. And there are other lists as well, but those are two of the main ones. And I just want to say that prophecy, hearing what God says and repeating what he says, that is so powerful. Somebody could come in to this church tonight and hear God speaking to them, and it could change the course of their life forever. So I think this is a really, really precious gift, because when God speaks, he turns things upside down, inside out, and they will never be the same again. So the prophecy, like I said, is a gift of grace and a channel for God's love to flow through to build others up. And verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So it's a gift of grace and a channel for God's love to flow through. Just a word of warning. Prophecy needs to be used within the church context, because there needs to be accountability, weighing, and testing. And in a month's time, we're coming back, if you'll have us. You might say after tonight, oh my goodness, never want them again. But in a month's time, we're going to do some stuff about guidelines and good practice. But I've seen disaster strike when people just do their own thing and are not accountable within a church context, and then just go around speaking out so-called words from God. So it should be in a church context, and it's for the common good. Then it's speaking on behalf of God. Like I said, that's an amazing privilege when you think you could speak on behalf of God and somebody's life could be transformed. Now, many, if not all of the prophets in the Old Testament did this, often in very difficult circumstances, often against the flow of what everyone else was doing or thinking at the time. I'm using Jeremiah here as an example, but I could have chosen really any of the Old Testament prophets. So in Jeremiah 1:9, he says, "Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'I've put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.'" But then further on in chapter 23, Jeremiah speaks about the lying prophets, people all around him who were just saying what was easy and palatable for the kings and rulers of the day and for the general population. And he says in verse 18, "But which of them," the lying prophets, has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? This implies that Jeremiah had stood in the counsel of the Lord and heard his word. So another way of putting it, he'd been taken into God's confidence. And that's an amazing place to be. To be so close to God, hearing his voice, that he takes you into his confidence and speaks to you about a person or a situation. Then, thirdly, prophecy is speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So 2 Peter 1, verses 20 to 21 says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So, prophets speak from God, carried along by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy connects us to the Father's heart for different individuals, groups, or situations. And then we speak God's heart over people and circumstances. We can proclaim God's potential over a person's life and release their destiny. And that's amazing. And just something that I was reading last week in Acts 13, the church at Antioch got together and the prophets, everybody was praying, and then the prophets said, separate for us Paul and Barnabas. And they went off and journeyed into Europe eventually. And maybe if the prophets hadn't said, separate for us Paul and Barnabas, and they'd gone off on their journey and then come into Greece, and eventually Paul went to Rome, perhaps the gospel wouldn't have got to us in Europe and we wouldn't have been sitting here today. So prophecy can proclaim people's destiny. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, says Revelation 19:10. Prophecy will reveal Jesus. And then for anyone who's ever studied a bit of theology, foretelling or forthtelling? Is prophecy foretelling or forthtelling? Well, I can tell you it's both. Prophecy can speak about future events. And I've got an example from Acts 11, verses 27 and 28. There was a prophet called Agabus who came to Antioch. And I'll just read you the verse, actually. During this time, some prophets from Jerusalem came to Antioch. One of them was Agabus. Then with the help of the Spirit, he told that there would be a terrible famine everywhere in the world. And it happened when Claudius was emperor. So he foretold something that was going to happen. And the church there at Antioch said, right, let's take up an offering. Let's get ready to help out with this famine and help the people who are going to be in need. So he foretold the future, and it had a practical application, which I think is something very important. And then forthtelling, that is more having prophetic insight from the Holy Spirit about something that has already happened or is occurring at the present and declaring it. Now, an example of that would be from Acts 2, verse 16. So Pentecost happens, the Holy Spirit descends, and Peter explains, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So Joel had spoken of what was to come, that the Holy Spirit was to come many years before. That was foretelling. But Peter's ability to identify what was happening and to speak into the situation and see it as fulfillment of prophecy was forthtelling. Forthtelling can be sharing insight with someone about a current situation, bringing encouragement to the individual, and speaking out what God's purposes are in the particular situation. Just to give you a recent example from a couple of months ago, someone sitting on the front row, Frankie, shared a word with me, and she said, I've got the word envelope. I don't know what it means. And I said, I know exactly what that means, and it really related to a particular situation that I was in at the time, and it really helped me to deal with and process that situation. So she was bringing encouragement into an existing situation. She wasn't speaking about the future or telling me what was going to happen, but she was forth-telling. Okay, so who can prophesy? That should be on the next slide. Yeah. And I think when I started doing this prophecy course, that was the biggest game changer for me, because I'd always thought prophecy is just for a few people who've got that gift. And people had said to me over the years, oh, you're quite prophetic, Sam. And I'd said, oh, no, I don't think I am. I just like encouraging people. And I'd kind of pushed that away. And I'd always thought, prophetic, well, that sounds a bit boastful. I'm okay with the other things, like, you know, if you think of the five ministries, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. If people said, oh, I think you've got a teaching gift, I'd feel okay with that. But if someone says, you're prophetic, it sounded a bit too important to me and I didn't like it. So I kind of pushed it away. But through doing this course, I began to see that actually everybody can prophesy. Everybody can prophesy. So I said a very simple definition would be hearing God speak and repeating what he says. Then surely we can all hear God speaking. We might hear him in very different ways. Maybe he speaks to us through the Bible. Maybe he speaks to us through a song. Maybe he speaks to us through somebody preaching on a Sunday morning, or through a friend, or maybe when we go out for a walk in the countryside and we see something beautiful. But God speaks to all of us. And maybe he's speaking to us personally, but then it's only one little step on to hear him speaking about somebody else. Maybe you've been praying for a friend who's in a difficult situation, and as you're praying, some words come to mind, and you think, I should share those words with that friend. You're starting to use the gift of prophecy. If we're not all able to hear God speaking, then we might as well pack up and go home. We would never be growing as Christians. John 10 is the famous passage where Jesus talks about himself as the shepherd and us as sheep. And he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's in verse 27. But in verse 4, it says that the sheep know his voice. And I think we know when God's speaking to us. Yes, we need to weigh things, test them, balance them with scripture. But we probably know a lot more than we let on. Acts 2, verses 16 to 18 say, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So Joel was predicting that sons and daughters, men and women, would prophesy. Wouldn't just be for a select few. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, tells us to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And then in verse 31, For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. So I believe that all Christians can use the gift of prophecy. This might come as a bit of a shock to you. You may be thinking, oh, I'll come along tonight, but it's not really for me. I haven't got that gift. I'd just be interested to hear what they've got to say. And you've been counting yourself out. Well, tonight God's counting you in. I don't believe that everyone will use this gift to the same degree, but I believe that everybody can use it to encourage, build up, and strengthen the church. So, why is prophecy important? It's important because our God is a communicating God, and he wants to communicate with us. Like I said, if we're not going to hear God speak that will change us, transform us so that we grow, then we might as well forget it. He's always speaking to us. We're not always listening, but he's longing to speak to us. So it's really important for us to hear him individually and as a church. He wants us to grow and flourish whatever stage of life we're in. You're never too old, you're never too young. Like I said, I mean, I'm as old as Madonna, so. But he's a living God and he wants to communicate with us. And that's why prophecy is so important, because it's his means of communication with us. So, what does prophecy do? And, you're ahead of the game. It's already up there. So, prophecy reveals Jesus. It strengthens, encourages, and builds up the church. That's in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Prophecy provides vision and direction. Acts 13, verse 2. That's the example I gave you of Paul and Barnabas being sent out. Prophecy helps us to know how to pray. Prophecy is vital to spiritual warfare. I've got references there from Ephesians 6 and 2 Chronicles 20. Prophecy can give us insight in counseling and personal ministry situations. Prophecy builds faith. Prophecy can bring warning, like the famine that I spoke about. Prophecy speaks to people's potential, releasing them into destiny. Prophecy builds confidence and gives strength to endure. Prophecy helps to bring the church to maturity, and prophecy is a powerful tool in mission. And we'll speak more about that next time. So, let's get on with the stuff, shall we? For those of you who've heard of John Wimber, who started the Vineyard Church back in the States in the 1970s, when he became a Christian, he started reading the Bible and was very excited about all the things that he read about. And so he went along to his local church with his wife, and I think it was possibly Presbyterian church. So he sat through. Well, he wondered why, as he went up the church steps smoking a cigarette, people were giving him strange looks. But he sat through the service and then afterwards bounced up to the minister and said, "So when do we get to do the stuff?" And the minister said, "What do you mean, the stuff?" And he said, "Well, I've been reading about it. You know, people getting healed, people getting delivered from demons, people being raised from the dead. You know, it all happened there in the book of Acts. I've been reading it." And the minister said to him, "Oh, no, that doesn't happen now. That was for then." And so he was very, very disappointed and went away and decided, well, he prayed for a year to see somebody healed, and He didn't see anything for a year, but then he did see somebody healed, and that was the beginning of his ministry. But God is very practical. So I want us to do some stuff. I could drone on all evening, but I want us to do what I'm calling an activation. This is a prophetic activation. So I think there is some paper and some pens here. And in a minute, I will pray. But I want everybody to come and get a pen and paper, or maybe somebody could hand them out. That might be easier. And I want you to pray and ask God to bring to mind an encouraging Bible verse. And I think there are Bibles dotted around the seat. So if you haven't got a Bible with you, you can look one up. And then pray and ask God who you should give it to this evening. So we're going to be practical. And if you're really stuck, just think of a verse that has encouraged you and write that down and give it to someone. But I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. And I have to say that the first time I ever did this, it was quite amazing. And somebody had some verses that they shared with another person that had been the very verses that were used at that person's parents' funeral that this other person could not possibly have known. And it was a kind of unusual selection of verses. So she said to me, there's no way she could have known that. And so it was very encouraging to that particular person that God was with her in her situation. So I'm trusting that God's going to speak to different ones of us tonight. So I'm going to pray, then we can get the pens and paper, and I'll give you maybe 5 minutes to think of an encouragement, and then I'll say, get up and walk around and find the person you're going to give it to. So, Lord, I just pray and I ask for your Holy Spirit to come right now. Come and touch each person here. Come and still their hearts and minds. Put encouraging thoughts in their minds. Guide them and lead them to different verses. And then, Lord, would you show them who they're to share that with? So, off we go.